keep going. Ready? So we're finishing out. Jesus Christ comes back, Revelation chapter 19. He comes back to the Battle of Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo. He touches the earth. This is the first time he touches the earth since he was resurrected way back here in Acts chapter 1. The angel said, as you see him go, you'll see him come. And so he touches Mount of Olives, death here in the Valley of Megiddo, and then we see the next resurrection. Now, what's going to happen is all the people that are alive, living people that have made it through the Great Tribulation period, are going to enter into the millennial reign of Christ. Now, certain events are happening right here, so let's cover them. The moment Christ touches the Mount of Olives and the Battle of Armageddon is complete, the Great Tribulation period has come to a climax and has ended. We then start what's called the Millennial Reign of Christ. It's a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. Now, the very first thing that happens is Satan is bound. Satan and all the demons are bound for 1,000 years. And Christ comes and lives in the New Jerusalem for 1,000 years and rules and reigns over this earth. The Bible says he rules and reigns with a rod of iron. Now, people in this timetable that are alive and physical will not die in those 1,000 years. Isn't that pretty cool? They'll procreate. We'll have babies in that timetable. Now, remember, all those from the church age who were raptured received their glorified bodies. We are not going to be a normal human being on this earth. The Bible says that we'll be ruling and reigning with him on this earth. That means that Christ is going to use us as we've been crowned and as we have different positions, whether you like it or not. How the amount of work you do for Christ on this earth actually postures you in eternity. There's different levels and authorities in the heavenlies once you have moved on. So if you've done nothing for Christ, you make it by the hair of your chinny chin chin, you will not be reigning with Christ. You might have a job in the heavenlies, but you're not going to have the authority factors in the heavens. And the fact is that God has those who will rule and reign with him. There are different levels of authority even in heaven, and those on earth will be ruled and reigned. Some will be ruling over towns because that's as far as they got. Some will be ruling over cities. Some will be ruling over regions. Some will be ruling over states and so on and so forth because this will still be on the same planet. And so the millennial reign will happen here on this earth for 1,000 years. Christ will rule with a rod of iron, which means if somebody sins, now remember, we will not have the same demonic atmosphere as we have right now. Right now, we are tempted of the devil. But in, chapter 9. We couldn't break into Pastor Dan's office tonight, so I had to use the iPad and use the Kindle version. It's the first time using the Kindle version.
Did it give you a page on it?
On the Kindle?
Yeah.
No. Oh, there's the fourth. Here we go. Okay, here we go. So the third resurrection is happening immediately after the end of the Great Tribulation period. Now I want to remind you, the first resurrection is?
Jesus.
Let's do it together. First resurrection is?
Jesus.
Second resurrection is?
Jesus.
Third resurrection is? The Old Testament saints. O.T. saints. And trib saints. So they will die. People will definitely die in the Great Tribulation period. A lot of people don't realize this, but we talked about it a little bit last week, is that the death that will be required for those who do not take the mark of the beast. Now, a lot of folks don't understand. They say, well, I'll just go hide somewhere. Right now, they can look inside of a mountain and tell you the date on a quarter. Everyone thinks they're going to hide. I just go hide in Maine or something. I'm going to get me a little stockpile of food. There are people, I know, I have friends of mine, they do that. They got stockpiles in like little dens in Maine. So when the Great Tribulation happens, if they get left behind, they're set. Yes. Because people will be saved in the Great Tribulation period. It'll be more like the Old Testament style. So they will still have to confess Christ, but they're not going to feel the Holy Spirit like we do. They're going to have to do it straightly by faith. The just shall live by faith. It'll be just like the Old Testament. We looked at Abraham. It was accounted unto Abraham as by faith. So the just shall live by faith. It's a total different type of salvation. But what happens is all the people that die during the Great Tribulation period, the saints, they will not be resurrected in their physical bodies. They'll still be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. But their physical bodies will not meet until here. The Old Testament saints, remember they died way back here. They're absent from the bodies, present with the Lord here. But their bodies do not meet their spirit till here. This is the third resurrection. Now, we can see this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and had not worshipped the beast or his image, and not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The Old Testament saints, we can see it in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And this shall be a time of trouble. That's talking about the Great Tribulation period. Such as was never seen since the nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone is found and written in the book. And to many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Isaiah 26, verse 19. And you and your dead shall live, together with my dead body they shall rise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and earth shall cast out the dead. Job 19, 25 and 26, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. When interpreting the word of God according to the due process of hermeneutics, these verses cannot be taken figuratively, but must be understood literally. The martyred tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints are the final resurrection of the people of God. The final resurrection, which will be of the unsaved, which will be at the white throne judgment. That's the next one, the fourth. The martyred tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints will finally have their physical bodies resurrected so they can be granted the eternal bodies that Jesus already gave them, so they were resurrected as we received in resurrected rapture. So the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints will at this point receive their glorified bodies. And will enter in like us to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years in the millennial reign of Jesus.
So we will rule and reign.
We will rule and reign with Christ in the millennial reign. What's that?
At different levels.
It depends on the crowns that you earn. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know what's amazing? I do want to address that. A lot of people.
What about young kids, babies, and stuff like that? Where are they coming to this? How are they going to rule, reign, or?
Well, we don't have that answer. The Lord doesn't give us that much. Remember, there are gray matters that he doesn't touch that we just don't know.
Another question is, the rapture. You got kids that are parents that aren't saved. What about young kids?
All the children when that rapture happens, all the children are out.
Right now.
All the children are out.
This here, the next one coming.
The rapture, when the rapture occurs, the second rapture, when the rapture occurs, all children will go. All children under the age of accountability will be gone. Can you imagine holding your baby? You're a sinner. Holding your baby and your baby disappears in your arms. I mean, you want to talk about frantic? Well, the world's going to be a complete chaos. Complete chaos. Yes.
What happens during the millennium if someone intentionally sins?
What happens in the millennium if somebody intentionally sins? They are killed. They will then be sent to hell, the holding tank. What's that? No, they cannot be saved. They cannot be reconciled.
You won't die, but if you sin, you'll be killed.
You'll be killed, sent to hell, the holding tank. Remember, hell goes from the very beginning all the way to the end. That is the holding tank for the unrighteous, the unjust.
For the lake of fire.
Yes.
God
knows your heart. I mean, if you're out, like, there's a difference between living in sin and sinning. Remember, as a believer, you should never live in sin. You have a different nature. Remember, the nature of the old man was sin. That was normal. It was normal to sin. If you're living in sin, that is abnormal if you call yourself a believer. The Bible says you have a new nature, and that's found in Peter, where the old nature is gone and you've been given a new nature. It is abnormal for you to sin. You don't have to sin every day. You don't ever have to sin again. You don't have to. It's choice. Before every one of us that are born again sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us. Tells us, don't do this. Don't go there. Stop. Now listen, if you don't feel that anymore, get concerned. It means your heart's hardening. Get yourself before you go too far. What happens is that you, every one of us, every single one of us, how many of you sinned in the last week? Before you sin, you knew it. You had a choice. Bust down the thing and do it, or stop. We all have a choice. We don't have to sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, you are no longer a slave to sin. Sin has been broken in your life. You do not have to sin. We all choose to sin. And so he always warns us. I thought you had a question. Yes.
So God comes back and you don't drink anymore. You don't do any drugs, anything like that, party. But you still smoke cigarettes. Comes back and you're smoking a cigarette. You're not going?
Well, just know that cigarettes are not a sin.
Okay.
You might smell like hell. You know, but you see, that's where, you know, like we've classified in Christianity a lot of sins. I remember, and I've given this example so many times, but it's so powerful. Amy Bishop's father, and everybody knows Amy Bishop. Amy Bishop's dad, he was on my board at one point in time, and he's driving down the road with this preacher. And the preacher looks at him, and his name was Norm. Hey, Norm, when you stop smoking, God can use you. And Norm looked over at the preacher and said, well, Pastor, when you stop being a glutton, God can use you. We like to categorize things, you know what I mean? But if you're convicted by smoking, then it's sin. And at some point in time, if you're a believer, you will be convicted for smoking. Because what will happen is it's actually killing the temple of God. So you will be convicted. You know, he doesn't convict. Can you imagine the day you got saved, you were convicted of every sin that you do? You had to change tomorrow. Now listen, there should be a great, great, great change. But sometimes there's challenges, amen? And God will deal with it at different levels and in his timing. I've seen people delivered from alcoholism the night that they were saved. But they didn't stop smoking for a month or two. I've told you about Mark McComber. He was a young man that got saved in our ministry. His wife left him because she felt she was a lesbian. And it was a Christmas Eve night. He came in for the service, got born again, had gone to a Methodist church his whole life and had never once heard the gospel. Gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and man, he served the Lord. I was so excited. He was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We'd do Bible studies. He was all fired up for Jesus. And then he decided to give a testimony. And this was like 3 months into his walk with the Lord. He said, I was sitting down at my dining room table, reading the word, smoking a joint. And he said, I was just getting down. He said I was gonna roll some more of the roaches that I had in my he's telling the whole story. Roaches that I had in my ashtray. He said, and the Holy Spirit said to me, no more. So he says, I picked up my nickel bag and he said, I took all the stuff out of my ashtray and flushed it down the toilet, Pastor. I will never smoke another joint again.
Amen.
I went, Jesus. But he'd been saved 3 months, you know what I mean? Reading the Bible all the time. But when the Holy Ghost convicted him, it was simple. And, you know, we don't always need the Holy Spirit to convict us. When it's easily distinguished sin in the Bible, say no.
Medical marijuana.
No. You know what's always funny about the medical marijuana thing? Is they don't ever want to take a pill of medical marijuana. They all want to smoke it.
But then also, it can make the medical marijuana where it doesn't affect the brain to give you a buzz, but it affects your pain.
But what fun would that be, brother? You know, it's like, they're not going to do that. You know, yes?
Question about the Great Tribulation.
The Great Tribulation.
Yeah, say like at the end of that 7-year period, and yeah, right there, and say I'm like, I'm just using an example. Say I'm like 70 years old, and I'm able to live on into the...
The millennial reign of Christ.
Millennial reign of Christ.
You'll never die.
Will you be 70 the whole time?
Yeah, you'll be 70 the whole time. You're all wrinkled and everything.
That's scary.
The amazing part is there'll be sinners and believers, you know, people that have gotten, that have given their heart that didn't die in the during the Great Tribulation period. They'll be in the millennial reign of Christ too. No, no, no. They'll still go in the millennium, but if they sin, they'll be killed. Oh, hands are up all over the place. Say it again.
If they stop,
they will stop sinning because there's no demonic influence. And Christ will be ruling. They'll see Christ face to face. Yes?
But there's no way that I'll make it past the first part of the tribulation.
No, because you already know about Christ.
There you go about
Correct. You're done.
We're all done.
Yeah. So everybody in this room, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Everybody watching by live stream, you're toast if you don't stay right.
So I didn't catch that. That was my question. If I live on into the 1,000-year millennium, then I sin in the 1,000-year millennium, then what happens?
You're dead.
You're killed.
Okay. Going
you're going to hell. Now remember, hell's just a nice place.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, hell's a nice place, man. I mean, you know, your body's being eaten by worms. You're alone. Your memory never ceases. You're being torched, literally. You're smelling and hearing the screams, smelling the sulfur of the burning bodies. You are cognitive. You are never sleeping. There is no rest. There is no peace. You'll never forget every time you had opportunity to be saved. Hell is the nice place.
At the end of the 1,000 years, that when hell comes.
I can't tell you that yet. I can't tell you that yet. You're jumping ahead of me. So here we go. So here we have, hell is a nice place.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Don't sound
bad. Yes.
During the millennium.
Christ yes. During the millennial, Christ is ruling and reigning.
Say you're in some kind of an accident.
Say you're in an accident.
You're really injured.
Yep, if you're injured.
Could you go to Christ and ask him to heal you?
We don't know that. We just know that people don't have to die and will not die unless they're in sin. Yeah, don't sin, you won't die. But again, remember, you're not going to have, you don't have to worry about it anyway, you're screwed if you end up close to there. But I mean, just know that the people that enter in there, there'll be no demonic influence at all. None. Every demon and Satan himself will be bound for 1,000 years. There'll be no demonic influence on this planet. It'll be a lot like the Garden of Eden. With no demonic influence.
What about the ones who witness to now or share with family members? They reject, or they're just not there yet.
What about the people that we share Jesus with now that just didn't, they heard the gospel is the issue.
Are they going to go to hell?
Yes.
Right.
They heard the gospel. They heard the gospel. They were given opportunity. Every person you plant a seed with, you're given opportunity for salvation. One plants, one waters, and God brings the increase. First comes the blade, then comes the shoot, and then comes the head. I always forget that it's never right, but you know, I always shoot for it.
Blade, head, and ear.
Thank you. Blade, head, and ear. It always works. And so if you plant a seed, they have opportunity to be saved. If they choose not to, they've set themselves down. It's their choice. This is where, you know, when I do this type of teaching, it is really a challenge for people because We all want to think that all dogs go to heaven, and we need to really get an awakening in the spirit. We need a revelation from heaven to recognize that every time you pass somebody at work, every time you pass somebody at play, every time you pass somebody at Walmart, and they don't know Jesus, they are eternal. They are eternal. They are either going to heaven or the lake of fire, the holding tank that will be vomited up for the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20 verses 11 through 15. This is not about, I don't like you, I don't like you. We fight not against flesh and blood. It don't matter what color hair, doesn't matter what color skin, doesn't matter what country, doesn't matter if you're tall, you're short, you're fat, you're skinny, doesn't matter if you have big feet, small feet. Every single human being is made in the image of God. We are a trichotomous being, and every single person is eternal. And there's only two destinations. So the longer the enemy can keep you playing games, the more your family and your friends are damned.
We need to be the salt and the light.
But if we don't tell them, they still have the opportunity because we didn't tell them.
Problem is that every time they turned on His Word TV Sunday morning at 7:30 on ABC,
we're better off to get it over the But we really need to be an example of who Christ is, y'all, every day.
This is the issue. Exactly. You know, we all have issues. We all have issues. Turn to somebody and say, hey, you might have an issue.
My brother, he's never been to church. And I talk to him all the time.
You have a relative that's never been in church.
And, you know,
and you talk to him all the time about the Lord.
Yeah, he's got a family.
He's got a family and everything.
And he's going to come to church. He's, well, the first thing I do when I go and get up in the morning and go out to feed the animals, I look up this
yep.
guy and I talk to Jesus.
Right.
I've never been to church, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, his question is his relative goes outside, has never been to church, but walks outside every morning, looks up to heaven, and says he thanks Jesus. Well, remember, even the devils believe in God and tremble. The verse that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The word believe there is not a noun, it is a verb. It is a lifestyle that we live. And so when somebody really knows God, what did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. It's a relationship. And so when someone really loves the Lord, they obey God. This is the American church factor. A lot of people in American churches, they don't want to obey God. And we've deceived ourselves to believing that we can plant this seed and get this harvest. And you can't do that. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's just basic. We try to get away from simple. That is simple. And so, listen, every time you plant a seed, the gospel in somebody's heart, guess what happens? That God automatically starts to grow, and God starts to draw them. God starts to convict them. God starts to work in them. Listen, you are not the converter. I am not the converter. Christ is the converter, but our responsibility is to be the salt and the light, not the dammer. When they look at our lives, they shouldn't say, well, why would I want the God they want? Why would I want to live the life they live? My goodness, I live that way. Why would I need God?
Too many people in the American church have come up with the attitude that, well, because you don't feel the same way I do, you're not worthy of heaven. That's another thing in the American church.
Well, again, it really doesn't matter what anybody says. There's not 20 ways to heaven. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We can all have good intentions, but people with good intentions are going to land in hell.
That's right.
A good old grandma who baked cookies for you all the time, sweetest thing in the world, never did harm to anybody. If she did not confess Jesus, she's not in heaven.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the issue is that a lot of people just don't know. They haven't been told.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they've never been told. Mark, like I told you, Mark McComber, he went to a Methodist church his whole life. He was in the youth group. He was in church. And never once, this is a church in Ithaca, never once heard that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you have to be saved or you can't go to heaven. Not once. And we assume or presume that people around us know that's truth, and we cannot presume that. Because listen, this is real. When the trumpet of God sounds and the church is taken away, all hell's busting loose. And listen, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go through the Great Tribulation period. It's going to be horrific. So the third resurrection is the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints are going to receive their glorified bodies like we did in First Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be taking off corruption, put it on incorruption. We'll have the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? It is a glorified body, or a body that will never degrade, never decompose, never slowly decay. There'll be no blood in it, because on earth life is in the blood, but in heaven life is in Christ. There actually will be no sun in the new heaven and new earth, because God will be our sun. That cool? So, I'm sorry.
In other words, right now we're living in the church age.
Right now we're living in this age. And where we are, according to church history, we are right about here. So the only thing from here to here is that God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's it. It's just grace. There's no prophecies. There's nothing waiting. It's just God's waiting for the longest moment that he can, because he loves people. And the problem is, if the church don't love people, we don't tell people. And if we don't tell people, when that trumpet sounds, they're going through that. You got a question about the rapture. Everything you say, I got to repeat. So here we go.
All right. So now in Matthew, when the disciples asked Jesus, when will the end come?
The disciples asked Jesus, when would the end come?
And he said that until that there will be wars, rumors of wars.
Wars and rumors of wars.
And all that. But the end is not yet.
Correct.
Only when all nations preach this gospel,
right,
of the kingdom.
When every nation has heard the gospel being preached, then the time will come. Are you ready? Billy Graham, a decade ago, before the Twin Towers fell, there was a radio release on top of that building. And when he preached that one time, he preached to every nation of the world with one sermon.
Amen.
Wow.
That prophecy was fulfilled. One sermon.
But there are still rising Islam.
Yep.
And other faiths.
Yep. But every nation has heard. But
never heard the gospel.
Correct. But it doesn't say everyone's going to hear the gospel. It says that every nation will hear.
But nation doesn't mean ethnos.
No, it does not mean every single individual themselves, personality, will hear. Now, that's the other factor, is a lot of people say, well, what about the people in the deep Amazon who have never heard the gospel? What happens to them? That's where God is truly the judge. For the word of God says in Romans chapter 1 that he hides his law upon every single person's heart. Now, to what dimension they're going to be judged, I have no clue. I am not God. But everybody knows right from wrong. Everybody knows the law of God. It's already written on your heart. No one has to teach a child or tell a child right or wrong. They know right or wrong. Or else they wouldn't disobey and turn and run. You know, every single human knows right and wrong. The law of God is written upon their heart. And that's where the righteous judge comes in, because God knows every single person's heart. That's one of those gray matters we'll never have answer to until we get to heaven. I see that hand in the back.
I just found out last week.
Called soul sleep. He's probably, is that what he's calling it, soul sleep?
In other words, Jesus is not coming back because he just left us and went to heaven.
Wow. A problem is that that's what's happening in a lot of colleges. The Black Steel theory is also taught in a lot of the colleges, which teaches that Moses could not have written the first five books of the Bible. Now, if Moses did not write the first five books of the Bible, then guess what? Jesus Christ is a liar, because he attributed it to Moses. So therefore, if Moses didn't write the first five books of the Bible, called the Pentateuch, then Jesus Christ is a liar. He could not have been God, could not have been the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the earth, could not have been holy and righteous. Therefore, the whole gospel is a sham. They're teaching that in college. And the problem is, in churches today, they're not getting what you're getting. So the students are going to college ignorant and being convinced by the professors that it's a lie.
You have students going to class that are believers and come out.
Absolutely. And that falls on the threshold of the local church. The church should teach them before they go. And that's what this class is about, and many people don't know. Cody teaches the same class to the teenagers.
So in other words, they're trying to say that when Christ appeared on the mount, that he was transferring between Elijah and Moses. That's a lie then.
All of it's a lie. Correct. So really, I mean, the professors in colleges, they do not believe in God at all. At the same time, they've never really studied it out. They just believe what they believe. Okay, so the millennial reign of Christ is coming to an end. At the end of the millennial reign of Christ, the Bible says that Satan, who is bound for 1,000 years, will be loosed for one last battle. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, during the millennial reign of Christ, people did not have free will. They had to follow Christ. God has never raised us to the place where we have to follow him no matter what. He wants to give us free will. So at the last, the enemy will be released, and then the people of the millennial reign of Christ, he will actually generate a whole rebellious clan. They've lived under Jesus for 1,000 years. They've lived under blessing for 1,000 years. They've seen the righteousness of our Christ for 1,000 years. They've been ruled and reigned by the believers for 1,000 years. Yet when Satan is loose for that last time, guess what will happen? Many of them, doesn't say how many, many of them will turn against Jesus and follow Lucifer for one last escapade. Dumb as stones, you know what I mean? Stupid is as stupid does. And you can't fix stupid.
And that's because they had not been tempted.
Correct. No demonic influence for 1,000 years.
People get tempted like a douchebag.
Yep.
And then they choose.
Mm-hmm. Yep, isn't that crazy? So for 1,000 years, no demonic influence. Satan's released one last time. That temptation, the drive, the sensuality, the demonic influence, many of them will turn against Jesus. That final battle will occur. And at that moment, the climax of human, earthly, as we have earth now, earthly influence will cease. That's the fullness of the earth's prophetic utterance. Then something's going to happen. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 says this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in them. Death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone's name who is not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So hell regurgitates itself, and everybody in hell is then brought up to the great white throne judgment. Every single person is judged. I don't want to get into that. It's the next chapter. Every single person is judged that is at this judgment. Now, I want to remind you, there are no believers at this judgment. It's just for sinners. Remember, the judgment for the saints is here. It's called the Bema Seat. All these people are already unrighteous. We know they're unrighteous because where are they?
In hell.
And so what happens is when hell gives up its dead, they are going to stand before the white throne judgment. And there'll be books that will be opened. The book of life, their names will not be in it. The book of works, which means as a righteous judge, he is going to show them their sins. He's going to show them every time they sinned. He's going to show them every time they rejected the Messiah. He's going to show them their life. Now, does he have to do that? No, he does not. Why does he do that? He's a righteous judge. He wants to show them that they earned their eternity. They had a redeemer. They had a savior. They rejected Christ. They rejected the blood. And they chose to be their own penalty. You see, that's the great part about Jesus. He who knew no sins became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. We deserve death, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have been given the opportunity of life, not life as in planet Earth life, life as in Zoe life, the God kind of life. We've been given the right to rule and reign with him. We've been given the right to be called sons and daughters, for he has given us the right to become children of God, John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. These are all principles that are so powerful, yet everyone that's in hell has chosen to reject the blood of the Messiah. They've rejected the righteousness of God. They postured themselves for a loss, and they will be regurgitated to the great white throne. Their names will not be written in the book of life. Now watch, this is really cool. Because hell will then be thrown in the lake of fire. Lucifer and demons will be thrown in the lake of fire. And then each one who stands before God, whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will then also be cast into the lake of fire. And history as we know it for mankind has ceased, except for in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth created. So the earth you're sitting on will be gone. The heavens will be gone. God will create a new heaven and a new earth, and life of everything we know within this book will have been completed. Amen. Sir.
So everyone that goes to the great white throne judgment is going to the lake of fire.
Exactly. If you end up at the great white throne, see ya.
Jesus.
They will be saved.
But are they resurrected?
Bible doesn't get into details of them. Okay. Doesn't get into the details. Again, there are gray matters that we don't know of all things. That is one of the ones we just don't know exactly. Yes?
About the beginning, you said that some people that just went to hell, they couldn't be saved or washed by the blood.
And that was the unrighteous Old Testament came from the lineage of Cain. Yes?
Talk the final structure.
There is structure. People that have, I should say this. We don't see structure as much in the lake of fire as we see structure in hell. There are definitely different penalties for the different levels of demonic activity or people's sins. Yes, the demons and Satan himself, because remember, the lake of fire was only created for the devil and his angels, was never created for mankind. Christ died for mankind.
Amen.
So that we wouldn't have to be lost. So anybody who's in there put themselves there. You know, you've heard people say, you see, I don't believe in hell because God, the true loving God, would never send anybody to hell. And the answer is, you are right. God would never send anybody to hell. They sent themselves. Jesus paid it all, so we don't have to pay anything. So anybody who goes to the lake of fire has chosen to go to the lake of fire. So God sends no one to hell. God sends no one to the lake of fire. Their names are not written in the book because they did not confess Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Therefore, they've chosen to pay their own penalty. And the problem with their penalty is it never ceases. So if you think hell is bad, you know, like you have no peace, you're never going to be able to sleep again, you're never going to have a moment where there is not pain, you're never going to have a moment where you don't hear people screaming, you're never going to hear a moment where your body is not on fire and worms are eating you, yet you're not consumed. You're never going to have a moment where you won't remember this night where Pastor Spencer stood before you on July 6th, 4th, 5th, someday in the middle, shared the gospel, and you decided, I'm just going to live my own life. You will never forget these moments. The wild part is, the book of Psalms says, even in hell, there is my presence. But in the lake of fire, there is not even the presence of God anywhere. The last place everyone in the lake of fire will experience the presence of God is they will stand before him. So can you imagine? I chose to live my own life. I chose to be my own God. I chose to reject Jesus Christ. I chose to live my own kind of life. They stand before God and they're in his presence. Can you imagine being in his presence? And then it's the last time you're ever in his presence. Never, ever, ever, ever again. If that don't scare the hell out of you, you're dumb. And if that doesn't teach us that we need to live right, dude, let me tell you, man. Duh. You know, we need to throw all our excuses away. If you didn't read the blog this morning, it's a good blog on excuses. It's
awesome.
You know, you got to get rid of your excuses. You know, you get rid of excuses and you live for Jesus with everything you got. You lose friends, you lose friends.
Absolutely.
People hate you, they hate you. That's right. And if they leave you anyways, they're not your friends in the first place. If they're mad because you don't drink, smoke, toke, screw around, then they weren't your friends anyways. You know, you need to learn to live right. I'd rather be alone and live right than be surrounded by people and join them and you can't even say hello. You're all by yourself. So that is the reality of the fourth resurrection. It is a horrible, horrible situation. Now, what you're going to find is if you continue in the book, in the Rock Solid Faith book, I've got to end. It talks about the new body will be touchable. Jesus went through walls. Jesus was recognized, so you're going to recognize people when you're in heaven, when you have your glorified bodies. You can eat with your glorified body. Can you imagine the taste of food in heaven? And you don't have to worry about packing pounds. Glory to Jesus. I am going to have me the most amazing banana split. I'm going to have, it's going to be some good salad. The unbelievers will also have an eternal body. This is called the second death. They will live forever. So it's just important that we recognize, honestly, that you have an important responsibility and an important job. And I look over this last weekend. I just want you to think about, can you just do me a favor? Think about the people you were with this weekend. And you need to ask yourself a question. Did I lead them to Jesus or away from Jesus? And then you have to ask yourself a question. If they died today, where are they going to go? And did I miss my opportunity? Because you might not get another one. 2 hours after he was seen, he's in eternity. The father and son who went on this jet ski this weekend, they're in eternity. People are dying all the time. We all think we got time. We all think people around us got time because they're young or everything seems to be looking good. Man, if there's ever a time, this is where we are in history, there's ever a time to get active in sharing the gospel. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid they're not going to like you anymore? What are you afraid they're not going to accept you anymore?
Try to share, nobody wants to listen.
Well, you know what? But they are listening. And when you share, your job is not to save them. Your job is to speak the gospel to them. And they do hear you, because when hell starts licking their toes, they know who to go to. Yeah, you got to be a sower. We're talking about this is the year of?
Kingdom seed.
Greatest seed you can plant. We're going to get into that this year. But the greatest seed you can plant is the seed of the gospel. And listen, you might want to get on the phone tonight to the people you hung out with this weekend. And you might want to apologize to them. Say, you know what? I didn't share Jesus with you. And I know you don't want to hear about religion. I don't want to talk to religion about you. I just want you to know that Jesus loves you and that he'll forgive you of all your sins. And that if you ever want to know more about him, I'm here. Simple. But at least now you're giving them the opportunity to know where to go. Yeah, no works, man. This is all about simple Jesus stuff. It's not about them chanting around a fire. Not about them taking a Bible, rubbing it on their head. saying the right prayer. This is about relationship with God, and they should see him in you.
I had a really close friend of mine, and he would call me every once in a while out of the blue, and he was kind of always all over the place and never lived for Jesus. And the last time he called me, I could just tell he was in a bad place. And I let him talk, and when we got off the phone, we talked for like an hour. When we got off the phone, I just didn't feel right. And I was like, the next time I talked to him, I should have talked to him about God and Jesus, and I didn't, and I felt terrible about it. And I got off the phone, and I'm like, the next time I talk to him, I have to. There wasn't a next time. He died from an overdose, and I live with that all the time.
Yep.
I think about it all the time.
And every one of us have somebody in our life just like that. One shot, baby. One shot. We got to stop playing games in our walk with the Lord, man. It's like serious stuff. Where are we? Right there, man. Right next to the trumpet. It's time to get busy. And you need to share Jesus with as many people as you can.
I gave away my card. I gave away the little cards. I gave them out to everybody.
Yep, those cards.
Hey, I don't know if you know how I come to church, but hey, check this out.
That's right.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm an atheist.
Yep, and that's all right. When she stands here, he'll open the book, and the book will say, on such and such a day, Dean shared a card with you with my name on it, and you said, I'm an atheist. Well, you aren't now. You aren't now. You can pray for him.
The thing is, you know, they say, I know a lot of people that tell me they're atheists, but one time or another in their life, they prayed to God.
Oh, yeah.
Praying to if you're an atheist.
It just comes down to where you've got to be bold enough to share the gospel. What are you afraid of? Have you ever asked yourself that? What are you actually afraid of? What are you afraid of in not sharing the gospel? What are you afraid they're going to do to you? Listen, we live in an amazing nation. I've only been punched once for Jesus.
Jehovah's Witnesses are bold.
They're bold. Only once have I ever been punched for Jesus. Had my hands in my pocket. I shared the gospel every morning. My 11th grade, I got saved 1983, March 13th, approximately 11:31 in the morning. And I went to school. My name was Spenswitzki because I dated a Polish girl. And I would share the gospel every morning at my locker. And one day I had my hands in my pocket like this. People would go by and say, hey, Spence, what's the verse for the day? And I'd share a verse for the day. And, you know, they did it mockingly, but, man, many of them got saved. And here this kid walked by, and he just stiff-armed me. Pow! Punched me right in the mouth. And I had a choice. Either laugh, because that was over the gospel.
And the other cheek.
And I didn't want to do that one, but, I mean, I had gas. But so, yeah, I just simply laughed. And, you know, today he asked, you know, a few years ago, he asked to favor me on Facebook. You know, so he's watching all of what's happening here on Facebook. And he communicates to me every once in a while.
Where's he at?
No idea. You reach out to him, but he doesn't answer certain questions, you know. But still, he's touching. Even though he punched me, he touched me really good. You know? Yes.
Pastor, is there ever a time to give up on someone?
Is there ever a time to give up on somebody? No, what I like to do is I like to pray. Like, if I've given the gospel to them, they've rejected the gospel, I'll pray that the seed I planted will start to grow.
I have a neighbor. It's a couple. And, of course, they're living in a sin. They're not married. And they like to drink their drink and smoke their dope. And every morning on my porch, and I play my church music, or I listen to Joyce Meyer.
Yep. Go, Joyce.
Power of Words.
Yep.
And Battlefield of Mine.
Yep.
And one girl comes over, she listens to it.
Uh huh.
But as soon as she walks off my porch, it's after.
Yep. Yeah, but the wild part is that she is not smart enough to close her ears.
Right.
Because the gospel is getting into her, and what will happen is the gospel, the seeds automatically work. So something is happening in her life or she wouldn't keep wandering over there. Even though she walks away cussing, God's working on her life, and that's a great thing. You keep that up.
Keep it up.
Yeah. You just never know, man. The most foul people, who would ever thought rich would ever be born again? I know his wife never thought that.
Foul mouth.
Foul mouth. Rich. Who'd ever thought rich? Who'd ever thought Parmeter would ever been born again? Honestly. Who'd ever thought that? Oh, Jesus, help his mouth. You know how to fix your mouth? Take cod liver oil every single time you cuss. You'll be cured in 1 week.
Michael J. Spencer.
No one ever thought Michael J. Spencer would ever been born again. It's the truth. I was a bad child, bad child. And, you know, it's just amazing to me. You know, we've got to recognize that you never know who's going to be born again, man. You don't know. Your job is to plant the seed, to water the seed. God will bring the increase. But if you just double your mouth, then who's ever going to know, man? Who's going to know? You've got to talk to them. You know, on a Sunday morning, I just to tell you frustration. I won't be able to answer that because I have to end. One of the great frustrations I have is on a Sunday morning when I ask how many guests are in the house or I do salvation call and like nobody raises their hand. You know, it takes everything inside of my ballistic body not to start rebuking the body of Christ, because that just shows we really don't love people.
Pastor, I mean, we love people, and we try, but if they don't want to come, what are you going to do? Hit them in the head?
There's always options.
Brad?
Always options. Listen, no one ever thought this kid be saved. He didn't even think he'd be saved. It's you've got to be aggressive. Now, listen, I know, Dean, I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but the fact is that the more persistent you are in sharing the gospel, somebody's going to give their heart to the Lord. And you know what? If everybody in this room just discipled two people a year, there's about 50 folk in the room. If everybody discipled two people a year, in 5 years, over 11,000 souls would be saved.
Right.
And let's just say half of them backslide. 5,500 plus souls would be added to the kingdom of God in just 5 years. And it all comes down to, do we really love people?
Yes, sir.
I can't. I'm sorry, Mark, because I'm so late. So you can talk to me after about it, okay? So I just want to challenge you. This whole teaching is for one reason, and this should spur you on, because we don't have a lot of time left. Get spurred on. Go out, grab. Do we still have those, Susan, out the hub? Those little green and blue cards? The salvation pack things?
You are saved?
Yes.
We don't.
We're going to get some.
But I heard that they're in a box someplace in the house. So
okay.
I think we should check before we get some.
Okay.
They might be hiding someplace.
We have little salvation cards that you can give people to help them know the Lord. And listen, I'm always talking to people. I went to I did my very first yard sale on Saturday and didn't make a lot of money. But I walked around and, where's your beautiful wife, Rhonda? Where's your beautiful wife, Rhonda? Are you doing the tent revival this year? I was blown away. How many of those people that are in that little community of selling stuff knew who we were? And I was able to stop from place to place to place and talk Jesus to people all over the place. And people are watching. People are listening. People are hungry. Please love them. Share the gospel with them. What's that?
The harvest is ripe.
The harvest is ripe and it's ready right now. So let's pray for it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the harvest, God. Lord, we thank you for all the seeds that this house has planted for the last 18 years. God, from cassette tapes at the mall, Lord, to every time we've handed out invitations, walking in every parade, Lord, to every festival we have been to. God, all the way up in Trumansburg, we used to do festivals. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for every time we did that the parade down in Sayre and Waverly. And Lord, we did all these things, Lord Jesus, to share your gospel with people. Lord, television for the last 4 years. Lord, every tent revival we've ever done. Lord, every time we've gone into the community and fed people and bus young people in. Lord, every single time we've planted seed after seed after seed after seed. And Lord, everyone in this room, Lord, has planted seeds in their friends and seeds of the gospel in their family. God, we call upon you, the Lord of the harvest, to send forth not only laborers, but to bring in the harvest in the name of Jesus. God, I declare right now, Lord, epic growth for the glory of God. Lord, not just because we can say we got a big church, but souls that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness who shall be filled. Lord, young people and men and women who no one ever would have thought would have walked in the building, walk in here changed by the power of Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that we will be harvesters, Lord, not just in church, but out of church, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For Jesus, you are coming soon. And I ask that you will give revelation knowledge to each one of us in Jesus' name, that we'll have a passion to save the lost. Lord, that everything we have would be expendable for a soul. God, I just ask, Lord Jesus, that you will give us your heart and your mind. In Jesus' name, bless the offering and our trip home and our time tomorrow and our calls tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.